It is Tuesday night, December 13th, 5 p.m. This is the monthly meeting of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. And we are calling the meeting to order at 5 p.m. And we are meeting virtually. We had planned to meet in person. However, last Thursday, a case count, or a look at the Oregon Health Authority's case count for Tillamook County, had us at 28 cases for the prior week, which put us into a substantial transmission level. So we thought it would be more prudent to meet virtually rather than in person. All right, roll call. Tom Donahue.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
And I am Sean Carlton, so we have four directors present. Minutes of the November 8th, 2022 business meeting. Any comments or questions? All right, hearing none, I would take a motion to accept.
I will move that we approve the minutes of the November 8th, 2022 business meeting.
I second.
All right, we have a motion that has been seconded, and all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All right, motion passes. All right, financial report, accounts payable for November 15th and November 30th, 2022. Anyone have any questions?
I did earlier. I talked them over with Rochelle, and she got me up to date and moving forward.
Great. Anybody else? I have one question. I was just curious, on page 2 and 3, there were charges not for a whole lot of money to PC hardware for USDA requirement. What were those?
Yeah.
Cameron, is that what you asked?
Cameron also. USDA, they hold our federal loan for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade that we did. They came in and did a survey to make sure that our office is ADA compliant. And they noticed that our handicap sign was too low, so we raised it up to their requirement. Our mirror in the bathroom was too high, so we lowered it. We also have to do something with the counter because the customer counter is too high for someone in a wheelchair, so we're still working on that one. But it was all very minor little screws and bolts and things that we had to move things around.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, Ann?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for November 15th and November 30th of 2022.
I second.
All right, we have a motion that's been seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes unanimously. Fiscal year 22-23, I believe that the report in here was run for December instead of November, so we'll carry that forward to the next meeting so that we can review that. I did have one question for you, Rochelle, on that. The page 3 on that, the taxes for the current levy,
yes.
Is that just lower than budgeted because there's some people that just take their time in paying their taxes?
Yeah, it is. Okay. We'll get a big bump in May when everyone's required to pay more.
Okay, thank you.
So is that money come in monthly?
It does come in monthly. In November, when everyone's come due, it comes in weekly. So we got quite a bit this last month, probably $200,000. But we'll get another big bunch in May, and that'll be right before we need to pay that payment for the loan.
Okay. Okay. Item 6, manager report. John, go ahead.
Thank you, Sean. A couple of highlights from the manager's report here. First thing I wanted to talk about was the lift stations. As you know, well, let me see if I can adjust my camera here a little bit. Okay. As you guys know, we've been waiting to get these lift station upgrades done for quite some time. The electrical panels took a long time to get because of supply chain issues with some of the required electrical components. We finally got those and finally got everything scheduled. And then a couple of things cropped up to spoil our plans. One, we learned rather late in the game that the Kiwanda lift station is actually located within the FEMA flood overlay zone, the floodplain overlay zone. Because of that, there was some additional permitting with the county that had to be done. We had to perform an elevation, a pre-elevation type of analysis with the county to determine primarily how high we off the ground we had to install the new electrical panel that we're planning to install. It's got to be above the base flood level according to these FEMA overlay maps, and I was surprised to find out it is in the floodplain zone, just barely, but it is. So
where is that lift station?
That lift station is on the corner of Cape Kiwanda Drive and Kiwanda Drive. It is the southernmost access to the subdivision over there. What's the name of that? It's not Shore Pine. Yes, that's correct. And it's right there on the corner of that intersection. And we had to postpone that particular job. Luckily, we plan to reschedule these for this upcoming week. So it's not a long postponement. But we did have to do some additional permitting and jump through some more hoops to get the county's blessing on what we're planning to do there. The other lift station we're planning to upgrade was Straw down at the south end of Sunset. That one got postponed as well because we also have to replace a faulty meter base for that lift station. This is the electrical Tillamook PUD, the electrical meter that is installed adjacent to the electrical panel for the lift station itself. We have to replace that panel base, and because we have to replace that panel base, we have to arrange for Tillamook PUD to be on site to kill the power. And killing the power doesn't appear to be the problem. The problem is they won't restore power to that lift station until we have a permit in hand and until the work that we are doing there is signed off by the electrical inspector. So that caught us off guard as well. So we had to postpone that lift station upgrade as well. But I'm pleased to report that we've done the survey for Kiwanda. We've got everything arranged at Straw. I believe we will have all of our permits in hand before the work begins. And these are scheduled now, instead of being Monday and Tuesday this week, they are scheduled for Monday and Tuesday next week. So I just wanted to bring everybody up to speed on that. A couple of other small, well, not small issues, a couple of other issues I wanted to talk about. We did have two employees test positive for COVID last month, so this is definitely still with us. It is still a thing. And I'm pleased to report that those employees had only mild symptoms, and the two cases were unrelated. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. One thing I want to mention about the unaccounted for water numbers this month is I found out today, and I see Leonard is with us at the meeting. I found out today that one of our check valves at the wells, and Leonard can remind me exactly which well it is, but one of the check valves has completely failed.
Well number five.
Thank you, Leonard. And, you know, the rest of the check valves haven't been inspected for a while, to my knowledge. I believe we have to dig them up, is one reason why. But what's unknown to me is how many other check valves for our individual wells may be compromised. We know one is not working at all. And as you all know, I've been struggling to try to get to the bottom of these unaccounted for water numbers. We're working hard to try to improve these, but I wonder what the possibility is that we could be recharging our aquifer with water we pump out of Horn Creek. So I don't know the answer to that question, but we're sure going to find out. And we're going to make the replacement of all six of these check valves on all six of our wellheads a serious priority. They're there for a reason. And if they are working correctly, it could explain some things that have been puzzling us. So I just wanted to give everybody that update. That was something we just learned at about 10:30 a.m. this morning. So we're definitely going to explore that possibility, because that could be, it could be a piece of the puzzle. Let's put it that way. So other than that, that's all I've got for the manager's report. If there are no questions, if there are, I'm happy to answer them.
Cameron?
Yeah. John, you and I, we talked about this earlier today and stuff. But I was going to ask you about, you had said the Horn Creek stream gauging station, and you're working with consulting to an engineer.
And thank you for that, Cameron. There is something else I should mention related to that, and then I'll get back specifically to the gauging station. We are moving full steam ahead on partially perfecting the water that at the water that we have a permit to use at Horn Creek. We're moving toward getting the partial perfection of the water that we can demonstrate beneficial use for. And as a parallel effort, we are moving forward with filing an extension for the remainder of the water on that water use permit that we currently cannot demonstrate beneficial use for at this time. So those two things are moving forward. I would expect to see some results from those efforts in the next couple of months. I'll keep everyone posted. The stream gauging station, which I've explained not only in my written manager's report but also verbally to the board, this is something that we have to do. It's a requirement of our permit. And one thing that is holding us up just a bit is we've got procurement rules that if any work, and that includes consulting work, exceeds a certain price tag, we have to seek three different quotes. And this is one of these situations that I'm struggling to do that because these services are highly specialized and there aren't a lot of other comparables in terms of other companies that do this that can quote on the same job. So I'm trying to overcome that obstacle one way or the other. I'd like to go sole source on this. I just have to finish checking on if that's an option, because this is very specialized. This is something not very many people specialize in, and certainly not very many people within a reasonable driving distance to Pacific City. So, but that is something we need to do to demonstrate full compliance with our existing permit. So it is something that we need to move forward on. I'm comfortable that it will not interfere with our permit extension. I've hired some, unfortunately, these water rights issues, whether it's certifying or whether it's pursuing an extension, it's complicated enough. You really need consultants that are filling out the paperwork and moving it forward. And I am in communication with those consultants about the stream gauging station as well. Our water use permit does not expire till the end of 2025. We've got time. And if we need to pause on the permit extension, just to ensure we're in full compliance with our existing permit, we can certainly do so. So, anyway, hope that answered your question, Cameron.
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
All right, any other questions on the manager's report? Okay, let's move forward on the agenda. Item 7, Unfinished Business A, Wastewater Master Plan. John, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, as you all know, we've got the draft. The time frame for review and comment has come and gone. I promptly consolidated all the comments I did receive, plus my own, and sent that off to Parametrics. Parametrics is now working on those revisions. I don't think it'll take them long. My personal comments were more, in some cases, grammatical than substance. For example, I've got this thing about calling our lift stations pump stations. I just don't like it. I've asked them to change all those references, which are numerous. Found a couple of things I've commented on that other folks didn't. For example, you all might recall that there was a fairly in-depth third-party consultant SDC analysis in our wastewater master plan. That is scoped for our water master plan, but we haven't seen it yet. I've talked to Parametrics about it. Parametric knows that they still owe it to us. We'll have to think as a group what we want to do because it is scoped in our agreement. However, Parametrics has said it's not unusual for them to pull that separate from a master plan. And in our case, they really wanted to do it because on the water side, they had done that SDC analysis early, and then we changed the CIP priority list at least twice. I know Kirk changed it, and there were some other initial changes. And Parametrics does not want to have to go back and rehire that same third-party consultant to change the SDC analysis multiple times. So they wanted to be sure that we were okay with the project list, not only the content of the project list, but also the order of priority before they move forward with that SDC third-party analysis. That is coming our way. It will not come as part of the master plan. I'm sure it was scoped as part of the master plan, so that we'll have to talk as a group about what we want to do in terms of feeling as though we got to do one more extension on the contract just to get that last piece done, or whether to just accept it as a supplemental document in the next month or two. So anyway, that's probably the best update I can give on the master plan. Outside of that STC piece, I believe Parametrics is firmly on target for providing us what we would now consider a final document by the end of the year.
Great, John. Thank you. Tom, you have a question? Comment?
Well, more of a comment. Once again, we find Parametrics late on their scope work. That doesn't make me happy. How critical is this piece to have a comprehensive plan in front of us? John?
Well, I can tell you that on the wastewater side, the SDC analysis is far less consequential than on the water side. And because of that, I'm inclined with an agreed reasonable time frame to get that last supplemental document done. I'm inclined to allow it. I mean, we can extend the permit if it makes us feel more comfortable from just, you know, a legal footing or that type of thing. But I can tell you that on the wastewater side, I'm not relying on that SDC analysis for any of our decision making. Our list of projects on the wastewater side is far more modest than on the water side, and our financing for those projects is more certain than it is on the water side.
Would you say a 2-week extension is acceptable to get that done?
I would think since this requires, this will be a third party analysis. I'm sorry, I got a background phone ringing here. Since this will be a third party analysis, I feel like we probably need to give them a little more time. I don't think it's going to be a complicated write up. I would suggest a month, but I don't see any reason why it would take longer.
Are we going to have to pay for this consultant, or as I recall, the last extension was for a finite number? I don't believe there was an extension in for monies.
No, there was not. This is part of the contract in terms of the dollars that were quoted to us. We do not have to pay for it separately, and Parametrics is well aware it's something that they still owe us and something we expect to be delivered within very short order.
Okay, well, once again, Parametrics has left us hanging, but okay, we don't have any choice.
Not at this point, anyway.
And to your point, I think, John, I think the good news is, I mean, I didn't get too out of whack with that section because it seemed like the dollars that were in there were within, you know, something that we could pay for without having to get any kind of tricky, complicated funding mechanisms. So I you're right, I didn't think about the fact that we needed to have that analysis as part of the scope of work, but I didn't freak out about it, that's for sure. So I'm okay with a month to get it in, and I would be fine having it be a supplemental type thing. Cameron, yeah. Did you have a comment?
No, I just, you know, next time we go looking for another company, or really down the line.
Okay, let's, oh, Ann?
I agree, Sean, that I think this is reasonable, and I had the same feeling reading through the master plan draft, and I do very much appreciate the reasoning that it's important for them to get our feedback on the master plan before they finalize the SDC report because of the experience in the water master plan, and that was significant. And it's hard for us to imagine, any of us, because we don't do that work on a daily basis, but changes in priorities can drastically affect the timing of SDC projections. And so I think we do have to realize that factor is legitimate. And I personally have no problem extending the time frame for the SDC report by a month.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that said, I hear you, Cameron and Tom. I've got my concerns about parametrics as well.
Are we going to have to have a vote to extend like we did last time? But that was for a fixed amount of money. I'm not sure what we need to do here.
John, we want to hold them to that December 31st on the master plan, but given that the SDC analysis is part of that scope of work, would we need to grant an extension if we're talking about the SDC part not coming in for until the end of January?
Well, if I put my lawyer's hat on, I would say that would be a prudent thing to do. And it's something that we could do quite simply. The only question is that we got the board meeting tonight.
Yeah.
Agreeing to a contract extension without even having it in hand, is that something that we could do tonight, or is that something that we'd have to wait a month to even approve?
Well, and the compounding problem is that the contract of December 31st happens before our next meeting. So any action I would think we would need to take tonight, but we don't have anything in front of us. And Rochelle, you looked like you wanted to comment on this.
Well, now that we've talked about it, I might change my mind. But I was going to say it never hurts to make a motion. It would be worse if you didn't make a motion and you needed to. But also, we did have a contract last time and we had to make a motion that we all agreed, or you all agreed on it, and we needed to sign it. We don't have anything to sign this go around yet. So, I don't know that they're going to send us anything to sign, but.
Well, they will if we ask them to.
Yeah. It's a different kind of extension.
Yeah.
So this does get a little messy because we do have a contract for the thing to be finalized by the end of this year, correct? A couple of thoughts I had. One is that this may be a reason for a potential special meeting after John can find out more from them on the timing of all of this. We can be informed on it and make a decision based on more information on a brief virtual special meeting on that subject alone. The other alternative, it would seem to me, is that we could do a motion now, but as others have said, I'm not sure we have the information that we need to do that. I don't think it would be wise to try to parse the contract that we have existing with them and hold the decision on the bulk of the plan to the current deadline and extend the SDC portion of it. That parses the contract, and I wouldn't want to do that without legal advice. So I guess my reasonable foresight at this point in my mind would be, let's let John have this talk with parametrics, sharpen the pencil on the plan and the timing, and look at the potential of a special meeting to get this all finished by the end of the year so that we can know what to do with the SDC report, because there is an outside chance we would get it.
John, what happened? I'm sorry. Go ahead if you have a comment on the end.
Well, why don't you go ahead, Sean, and I'll see if you addressed what I wanted to say.
Okay. So what happens if just hypothetically, what happens if we, you know, they Parametrix is required to have this done according to the contract by December 31st. So what happens if that isn't the case?
Well, I think we've had to extend this once before. I don't think there's anything that would prevent us from extending it again. I think the most simple thing to do in my mind, and you know, obviously this is a board decision, but in my mind, the most simple thing to do would be to extend the entire contract as is, and we just get the wastewater master plan 1 month ahead of the other of the SDC portion. I think that like it or not, I think it could be easily extended. I think that Parametrix would be perfectly willing to send us one more extension document, but in my view, I think we extend the contract as is. I don't think we can extend just a portion of the contract, but I could be wrong.
And what are the ramifications of them not delivering by December 31st?
Well, the ramifications on them, I think, in some sense, depend on us. You know, if we decide to not extend the contract, and you know, I mean, in it, not that we're suggesting this, but if we decide not to extend the contract and pursue some kind of legal recourse for them not missing their deadline, I think that's an option to us. I don't see that being necessary, and although I agree that I think with the water and wastewater master plan in this realm that Parametrix has left a lot to be desired, this is a firm that has done our engineering work, at all of it, for at least the last 20 years, including the upgrades to the treatment plants, airport, you know, numerous plans and so forth. Parametrix will follow up on this. There's no risk of that not happening. So the ramifications of them missing their deadline, I think, are largely up to us.
Are we liable legally for this not being taken care of? Is there a deadline for us to have this wastewater treatment? There must be. Are we ahead of schedule or what?
Well, we're required to redo these plans on a 20-year basis, and I think we've still got overlap time from the projections made in our last wastewater master plan. I don't think we've got a gap here. Even if we had a gap, I don't think the regulatory agencies, unless it was extreme, would put a lot of emphasis or focus on it. But I'd want to check for sure, because it's been a while since I looked before I say this, but I believe that we are still in our overlap period. So I don't think regulatorily or even functionally that I just don't think if there was a gap that it would be of significant impact.
I would suggest then, John, you contact Parametrix and let's get this done in a reasonable amount of time and tell them that the board is not happy with their performance.
I've already mentioned that, and I mentioned that actually the first time I ever spoke with them,
yeah,
which has been a year and a half ago on this very same topic. So I will make sure to reemphasize that for sure, though, Tom. I think they know that, you know, we're not happy. And, you know, my, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings about this was I would have thought they would have been working on both plans concurrently, not one before the other. And I'm a little concerned as to why it was one before the other instead of both plans being worked on simultaneously in parallel. I think if they had freed up the staff to do that for us, we wouldn't have been talking about this for the last year and a half, at least since as long as I've been here.
This is definitely on them.
Yeah.
So this wasn't unforeseen, right? I mean, I'm going back to your comment or somebody's comment about, you know, wanting to have the feedback from the board and staff and you prior to pursuing the SDC part of it. That shouldn't have been unforeseen. So, right?
I would agree. I think they probably in hindsight realized that they may have started the water SDC too soon. And if they had done the work on that, I think it would have been less of an impact. I think that I don't know if they foresaw this problem until it happened the first time, but they're definitely trying to account for it on the wastewater master plan. I think they're very near, if not already past, their budget on this project, and they just don't want to have to go back to an expensive third-party consultant to redo their portion of the plan multiple times. I think they're a little gun shy after some of our change in direction fairly early in the water master plan.
Well, I guess my feeling after all this would be, and this is just one opinion of all of us, quite frankly infuriates me that we would have to have a special meeting towards the end of December to accommodate them on this. My feeling would be, you know what, they get it to us when they do, and if it's after December 31st, then that's a strike against them, you know? It kind of reminds me of holding an employee account, you know? You give them so many warnings, and if they don't perform, they don't perform, and it goes on their record. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, they're going to be late, that's one strike against them, and it's documented.
Yeah. How many times have we done this? It's ridiculous. I mean, it should show up as a ding, more work than one ding. I agree with you, Sean.
Well, I will tell you, we will get the last remaining document. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, they sure aren't going to stiff us on this. But you may bring up a good point, Sean, is that maybe it's just the contract will expire and we're still waiting for a deliverable and, you know, bad on parametrics. And, you know, we'll factor all that in as we look forward to other projects.
Any other comments before we move forward on the agenda? All right, hearing none, item 7D, board director vacancy. I assume we've had no applications or interest?
Nope.
I did have a conversation with somebody that was positive, for sure, and I tried to be positive in that conversation. And there was certainly no commitment, but I'm cautiously optimistic. So,
yeah, the only reason it's still on the agenda is because it's unfinished business, right? So,
yeah, for sure.
I definitely want to continue to put that out there, just so that we're all keeping our feelers out, you know, trying to find some help.
Yep, for sure. All right, Item 7C, paid leave Oregon.
Yeah, and Rochelle, I'd like you to chime in about this. The reason we're putting this back on the agenda is because before we meet again, we will be withholding for this with the employees' checks. And I just wanted to, really, there's nothing for us to do other than just be aware of it. There were only really three potential decisions that we would even have the ability to make with this. One, did we want to go with an alternate plan? I promise you we did not. There's no upside to it at all. And a lot of additional work and headache. The other issue was, and I'm not advocating anything, I'm aware of some municipalities and potential special districts that have voluntarily decided to pay all or part of the employee's contribution. I'm not advocating we do that. I don't see any reason really why we would. This is a tax on all of us. Well, it's really like a tax, right? They withhold money to create a pool of money that they can use to pay for, at least partially, for employees' salaries, while for people that might take advantage of this new benefit.
And the only employees that they'll have to hire to administer it.
Yes, yes. And really the only other potential decision to make regarding to this is whether we want to voluntarily pay the additional 0.04. Let me explain briefly, just to remind everybody. The requirement is that employees will be required to, we will be required to withhold 0.6 of 1%. So 60% of 1% of employees' gross salaries that's a requirement. That's non-negotiable. If we had 25 or more employees, we would be required as the employer to pay 40% of the employees' 1% of their gross salary. We don't have 25 employees, and again, this is not something I advocate, but for those public entities that choose to have less than 25 employees and that choose to voluntarily pay what would be their contribution if we had more employees, the only benefit is that there would be financial assistance available for us to temporarily backfill a vacant position that was made vacant by somebody taking advantage of this leave. And I don't see any plus side to voluntarily paying that. We can't even hire a full-time person, let alone somebody to fill in on very quick notice, a couple of months if an employee of ours decides to pursue this benefit. So having summarized it that way, there's really no decisions for us to make. It's just this is going to start happening next month. And I just, because of that, I just wanted to put it on the agenda one more time just to remind everybody about it and to see if there were any comment or questions from any of the board members.
Rochelle, do you have a comment since John queued you up there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did queue you up, but
said everything, so I think I'm good.
The only question I would have is, have you heard anything from the employees on this?
No, they're aware it's coming. We have made them aware as early as we could in the process. We've got the appropriate signage in the common areas that we're required to provide. which, by the way, is quickly taking up a whole wall. But, you know, the employees, you know, nobody likes it, but, you know, it's coming, and the employees have taken it very pragmatically. So I think it's just, you know, it's just something we all have to live with. And luckily it isn't a bigger impact than it is. And it does provide an additional benefit. You know, I'm not aware of anybody, you know, in a situation where they would take it, but it is an additional benefit available to all employees in Oregon.
Okay, let's keep moving. Item 7D, Kiwanis Community Center Audio Visual. Did we hear anything back from Doug on that?
Well, actually we did, and Rochelle, you might fill me in on some of the details. He has not been able to put together anything tangible in terms of a proposal or anything for us to review. Because of that, he has asked to be invited and at our next business meeting in January and to be on the agenda. I do believe, Rochelle, you said something about he's done some pricing and things are going to be more expensive than we thought. Do you recall specifically what he was talking about?
I just remember him saying that they didn't get their quote for everything that they wanted, so they had to add things on later, but now they don't have enough money for it. But he didn't have an exact amount of money of what that's going to be, and that is something we obviously need, but
Tom, you got that same email. I think, I don't know if you've seen it or had time to see it from Doug.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Is there anything you want to add?
The only thing I would say is that being part of this is important for the community, but also from a legal standpoint, us operating in a building that is not under our control, having a video of the meeting is important, because that gives us a legal perspective to defend ourselves if something ever came up. So I do think if it's a little more expensive than what we were originally talking about, this is a pretty comprehensive plan, a pretty comprehensive group of equipment. So adding this would be, I think, a practical and necessary thing for our benefit, strictly from a legal perspective. It would be easier for more transparency for folks if we could put, you know, our meetings on our website, so people can see the nuances and what's going on, other than just a recording or a transcript.
Ian, you have a comment?
I do. I don't have a verbatim memory of the conversation we had at the last meeting, but I remember the concept of donation coming up, and I believe that in this process that we have to be cognizant that we are dealing with the public's money here. It's not PCJWSA's money, it's the public's money, and I think there are legal aspects to how and what we decide to spend money on and how we make that decision. I do not think that we can legally make donations, but I'm not an accountant, and Rochelle's nodding, but I think that is one of my biggest concerns. If we go forward with this, we'll see what Doug proposes. Doug has extensive experience with these kinds of things, so I expect that whatever proposal we get will address my concern. and address it very well. But that's kind of floating around in my head as a real red flag and something that we need to make sure we're dotting every I and crossing every T when it comes to responsible handling of the public's money.
Yep, thank you, Ann. I appreciate that. Rochelle, you got a comment?
I agree with Ann. Another concern that I have is it's not going to be our equipment, so basically the equipment's going to be a donation. That's going to be an issue with our auditors because we don't own it. It would be easier if they owned it and we leased it from them over the when we had meetings. That would be a lot more legal. I had another thought, but I've lost it.
Yeah, I just add on to my comments that I have that very same concern, Rochelle. Thank you for reminding me that I was worried about that. And I think this contract, whatever it is, if it's money that we're going to pay out, then we ought to have some very specific receivables. And one, in my mind, seems to be unfettered use of that equipment when we rent the facility to hold a meeting. So, I don't know what Doug's going to come up with, but I am opposed to us signing anything that would, where we would be involved in purchasing equipment that we don't maintain, we don't secure, we don't repair, we don't supervise use of. I mean, those are all issues. We would never have a lift station that we would just let somebody else run, and while this is audiovisual equipment and somebody might not think it's quite as significant as something like that, it's the principle of how you spend the public's money and what you're responsible for when you do. So, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a good point, and I'm with you, Ann. I don't recall exactly how Doug presented it, but I do think that there's a way to do it. So I think I think we got to be cautious of that. I agree. So, okay, let's move on the agenda. 7E, accessory dwelling units.
Yes, as requested, I attended the Tillamook County Planning Commission meeting last week. One of the topics of conversation was accessory dwelling units. And Tom, you had asked me to report back to the board. This is really the main reason I put it on the agenda, although I know we're reviewing this topic internally as the county is putting together some legislation regarding it. So some key points I learned at the meeting. Well, it appears as though, and I didn't realize this, I think most of you might know better than I do, but up until this proposed amendment, and the core of the amendment is, I provided all the board members a little late, but I got it to you. Apparently the county has never had a cohesive ADU policy until now. And this is the county's attempt to put together a comprehensive ADU policy. What the county is doing, well, number one, this amendment, and I think it's actually an amendment to an existing article or something, but this amendment is designed to prevent or designed to allow ADUs in unincorporated Tillamook County. I believe that this is mainly focused at unincorporated Tillamook County, of which Pacific City is clearly meets that description. So the county is not, through this new legislation, the county is not only allowing ADUs, they are actually encouraging ADUs, and the catalyst for all this is concern about the extreme housing shortage in unincorporated Tillamook County. They view this as a way to address that housing shortage, And because of that, they're, you know, they are actually encouraging ADUs as well as creating an ordinance that will allow them. So what I also learned is that obviously as a special district, we are free to make up our own policies about how internally we address ADUs, primarily in terms of SDCs and other types of things. We can, as expected, can continue to make our own policies about that. I've learned that the county does intend to enforce this. They're expecting the Tillamook County Commissioners to pass this or to adopt this amendment at next month's meeting. And I had a discussion with the Community Development Director, Sarah Absher, about enforcement, including enforcement of existing units. And if this is adopted, the county clearly intends to enforce this. And they are promoting good communication between the county and special districts like us in terms of giving each other a heads up regarding when one of these is discovered or one of them is going in. These will all require a permit. And in order to receive a permit for an ADU from the county is going to require a water and sewer availability letter, and that's an updated water and sewer availability letter, even if they already had one. So we will be alerted to if any of these go in. We can make our own policies in terms of our fee structure surrounding them. And I think that this is coming. And we have to decide what we, you know, I think ultimately we just need to reaffirm what our fee structure will be if these go in. And I do want to say that this is only residential. There's a lot of things in the amendment that design standards and what defines an ADU, how they must be built, and all that. So that's probably what I gleaned from the meeting in a nutshell. And if you have any questions, let me know.
Ann?
I don't really have a question at this point. We John and I talked about this briefly yesterday, but I will just echo the concept that this has been under discussion for years. The draft discussion on an ADU ordinance amendment that was contained in our last board packet was a draft that came from a meeting, a town hall kind of, well, not town hall, it was sort of a brainstorming meeting that I attended several years ago, and that was why I sent out the email to all of you with the link to the actual end result, which is what we have in front of us now. That draft was extremely long, and there was a lot of information in it, and that has become a one-page ordinance amendment, and this is to the land use ordinance for Tillamook County. So I think one of the most positive things that has come out of this has been the realization of the importance of coordinating with local municipalities. Even though we're in unincorporated areas, we are a municipal government with a responsibility to the public and to enforce our own rules. And I think that I wouldn't say the county didn't realize that before, but I think the importance of it has been enhanced in these discussions. And so I have confidence that there will be going forward. I'm assuming that this or some slightly revised version of it will be approved because of all the time and energy that's gone into it. But but I have confidence going forward that we will have much, much better enforcement coordination with the county on the, on this. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's a pretty long contentious history of ADUs in Tillamook County, and specifically in the concept of it in Pacific City. It seems like the momentum has changed in some circles over the last few years. And certainly the housing availability is a big driving factor, but, you know, Tillamook County will approve this because it is state law now. I mean, Tillamook County doesn't have a choice. ADUs are required under state law, so Tillamook County has no choice but to approve something. So that's probably what's spurring this on. But it's long overdue, and I agree. I thank everybody that's involved with making sure that Tillamook County is aware that we need to be a part of the process. And, you know, we've had discussions, I think, I can't remember if it was last meeting or the meeting before, where we talked about, you know, compliance efforts on our part. And, you know, I certainly don't advocate our staff going out and walking around people's property trying to figure out if something is legal or not. So I think really the only option that we have is interacting with the county to get this as a check off on the building permit process. So thank you to all involved for getting that done. And thanks, Tom. I think you had some interaction with Sarah last month about that very thing. So thank you for doing that. Okay, let's move forward on the agenda. Let me switch screens here, and next up is item 8A, resolution review, resolution 14-02, leaks on customer side of water meter.
Yes, as we talked about at the last meeting, I would like to present an ordinance once a month for board review as well as my review. I believe a lot of these resolutions and ordinances are quite old. As I've said, in some cases they haven't aged well. There have been a lot of things we've learned over the years. Policies have evolved. Lessons have been learned, and I think it would be good for us to review one of these every month. The board agreed rather enthusiastically, and this marked up copy was my first attempt at presenting one of these resolutions to the board for review and revision consideration. So that's what I've done. I don't know quite how to do this, although, Ann, I think you know, maybe we'll bring it up toward the tail end of this conversation, but you had an idea about how to maybe even streamline this process further, because I could easily see a single resolution taking 3 to 4 months to finalize, and I know there's a lot of these to look at, and we want to do it in a timely manner. So my intent this go around was to provide everybody with a marked up copy based off of my recommendations, my comments, and I would, whether it's in this forum or outside of this forum, I would invite each board member to provide their own comments regarding our existing resolution, in this case, 1402, right, Sean? That's what it was. Yep. And this is one that I felt like needed some work. And so we're starting with this one, and I guess I'm not sure where to go with it from here, but I would turn it back over to the board members.
Ann, you want to make a comment on this and keep queued you up?
Yeah, I would like to. I did talk with John about this, and as I said at the prior meeting when this whole process first came up, I think this is a wonderful thing for him to initiate. I think it's long overdue. We have resolutions that were created by the separate water and sewer department authorities before we were a joint water sewer authority. that seems to me to be untenable. And I think that John has both the experience and the expertise in all of these issues that we have not had in one person in the way that we do now. And so what I would suggest as a process is that John take on the resolution of his choice, because I think he's got a good sense of the priorities of what needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. He also has the whole picture in front of him, so he knows the other resolutions. Like in this one example that we got here, there are a couple at least other resolutions mentioned. There's history to research on what's happened with those, and he has access to all that material. So my suggestion is going forward that he choose the resolution in the order of what he perceives as urgency for effective management of the authority, and that he do basically what he's done for us now, present his comments and questions to the board for us to respond to individually to him. And that may be a conversation in person. It could be just a response in the comment column, as he gave us the Word document to do that, whatever works for individuals. And that we have some kind of comfortable time frame. I'm going to say, you know, maybe a couple of weeks for board members to respond to his commentary. And then he would take all of that commentary and work it into a final draft of a new resolution, which we would then review and discuss and potentially approve in the next board meeting. So I think, and also one of the things I think it's important to do in that process is when he presents a revised resolution, because of the time frame, and as we mentioned, there are resolutions we're functioning under that were still from the days before we had a joint water sanitary authority. I think it's important to say somehow in these new resolutions that we are rescinding prior resolutions by number, so we make it very clear that those old resolutions are moot, they are rescinded, and this is the rule going forward. That may engender some legal expertise to be involved in presenting these things, because we don't want to do something that's kind of not quite the way it should be, and so there will be some, I'm guessing, fairly minor legal fees involved in reviewing these efforts, but I think that would be more efficient for all of us, and again, John is the person with the experience, the education, and the expertise to make these ideas, put these ideas on paper for us to consider. And there was only one thing that I had on this, and I have sent a reply on the comments to John, so I don't feel like I need to go into that right now.
So, Ann, would you sort of advocate that for these resolution updates and or changes that John would send us some sort of an email that would outline what he's interested in? We would have, say, 2 weeks to respond back to him, and then at that time he would put together a formal resolution that would then be addressed at whatever the next board meeting would be.
That's what I would suggest, yes.
Right.
And I mainly have that process in mind because of the efficiency of it. This is a huge job. It's going to take a long time to do. And we don't, as John suggested, you know, this could involve three meetings for the board on one resolution, and that's not a good use of our time. We don't have the expertise to have some of these discussions, and we will all have different questions. We can address those individually with him, and so that we can arrive at a document that is probably going to be the bottom line with, if any, pretty minor changes.
Bob?
A lot of these resolutions, although they're outdated and need to be updated to current times, are also will be very of great interest to the public, our constituents. This ADU thing is a good example. That's going to require some input from whatever final thing we do. It's going to require some input from the public. This particular one, 1402, seems like a very practical matter, but I just like to point out that there are some that are going to be contentious, and we do not want to run roughshod over our constituents' concerns. It's unfortunate that we're building back some of that confidence by having new meetings, but I hope we get more public input on our proceedings here, especially as we move into this realignment of our policies.
Thanks, Tom. Any other comments? So, John, on this particular 14-02, then, I don't have any comments for you. I was fine with what you proposed. Do you want to then put together the formal resolution, and we can vote on it on the next meeting?
I think that would work out just fine. I've got plenty of time to turn that around. My only question is has everybody reviewed the document, reviewed my thoughts and comments, and would somebody like to, outside of this meeting, respond to me with comments, questions, or concerns of their own? If so, I'd want to allow time for that. But we're talking about a month till the next meeting. I'm sure if people get back to me quickly, I can certainly draft up something that would be in final draft form, or at least 95% of the way there. Pending any last second suggestions or comments from the board.
Bob?
One last thing. On this one, I happen to agree. It's fairly, your comments are pretty precise and they make a lot of sense. But as we move forward, I also think, besides allowing our constituents' comments and concerns, because some of these are so old, our employees probably have a lot of knowledge about how some of this has affected them on site. So I would highly recommend that you also incorporate at your weekly meetings or whatever, bring up what you're working on at the time and get some feedback from our employees as well.
Okay.
Great comment, Tom. Thank you. All right, let's keep going on the agenda, if I can find it here. Next item, guest questions and comments. Have we received any guest questions or comments, John?
No, we have not.
That's a good sign, I suppose. Item 10, chair or director comments. Anybody have any comments for the board or John? Ann?
I went and looked a few days ago at the website, since we have been working on revising that, and I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look at it, but I just want to compliment Rochelle and the staff and the team that they're working with on the improvements there. It it seems to be still a little bit of a work in progress. Is that true, Rochelle? Or is okay? But the look and feel of it, the way you negotiate on the pages, the way the information is presented, it seems to me to be an improvement even over the one we did a couple of years ago, which made it better. But the buttons are clear what you push to get what, and I found it functional and attractive, and I don't know if we have any way of getting public feedback. We probably don't, or we probably just don't receive any, but anyway, I just wanted to compliment the whole process, because I think it looks good. If you haven't gone and looked at it, you might want to take a look.
Great, thank you. Thanks to all involved. Cameron, anybody else? Anybody else have any comments?
No.
Okay, well, that's exciting. We have 6:15, and it's time to go to item 11, adjourn. So thank you all very much for being here.